So in your romantic partnership, mm-hmm. you baby, you are a servant to, yeah. you are a lover, you want to be a step ahead. Why are you laughing?
These are your words. It sounds insane. Because I know it is my words, but it yeah. sounds crazy.
That was Shan Booty and Jasmine Jazzy Brown, the young woman that's dating Cam Newton. I told you I was going to get into, are we going to be submitting or hearkening? So I'm going to get into that subject a little bit later in the show. But first, I'm going to start off with, there were 6 7-Elevens knocked off in California. Now, why 6? It should be obvious. Why 5? Why not 5? Why not 8? Why not 9? Why not 3? Why not 2? Why 6? Why 7-Eleven? That should be apparent because I talked about it on the last episode. 7-Eleven is an inverted 9-11 because sept means 7 in September. Ember means to burn. So you see a lot of programming starting out in July to get you your brain inverted as a warning sign that something's coming. It may not be on 9-11, but this is all they draw from. They draw from the last major PSYOP energy harvesting event, which was 9-11. And what happened out of 9-11? We went in another person's country that had nothing to do with the Twin Towers, and we went after oil. We said we went after oil and looking for weapons of mass destruction, which we didn't find any. And we tore up a whole country and a president over it. Americans was too stupid. Oh, yeah, let's get Osama bin Laden. Yeah, let's get them back. Let's revenge. Yeah, we'll offer up our privacy. And the thing that people always say when the New World Order come crashing down, it's always, oh, if you are guilty, you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't mind them going through your emails and going through your phone, or going through your messages and who you talk to and how you talk to them. That was the first step of Big Brother, is getting to look at everybody else who wasn't white as a terrorist or a domestic terrorist. Now everybody's being grouped in. That was the whole beauty of the January 6th PSYOP or ritual event, was to now include the white man into being domestic. That's why you see a lot of so-called white supremacy militias. And the guy who came and who talked on the panel in front of Congress that testified with the Oath Keepers, oh yeah, we are a violent art. Like, no one says this. You can't get the Hells Angels. You can't get no other real white. You can't even get the Mafia to come in and say, like Sam Giancana did back in the, 50s and 60s. You can get him to come on and say, hey, yes, we're a violent group. We went there in attack formation. Bro, what? You went to the Capitol building. So let me back up. So you as a militia, that which is really illegal in all 50 some states, you can't have a militia. But America allowed them to bring out all these militias, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers. It was just many, Patriot Front. All these different militias that some of you have never seen until Donald Trump. So it makes it seem like, oh, Donald Trump is responsible for these militias. These militias have already been, they've been a group already. Just like the Freemasons have been a group and Knights Templars have been a group. Oath Keepers and all the Proud Boys, they already were a group before Donald Trump. It was a bunch of sad men, most of them not married, loved guns, loved hanging out with the bros, and just created foolishness out of it. So they really got you to believe during this whole testimony of this Oath Keeper, wherever this guy was coming from, to sit up there and say, "Oh yeah, we went there with an attack formation." So you trying to tell me? If you told me you thought you was going for a rally and you were practicing with your other fellow militiamen how to storm the Capitol. That makes no, that you could tell that was a lie. You could tell they lie. How are you going to be in an attack formation to go where, fam? To walk into a building? Where were you going to go? What politicians were you looking for? What did you hope to accomplish? We seen the tapes. We seen police sitting on the side, just like they did in Uvalde. One guy got hand sanitizer and everybody was checking their phone. They were sitting on the side. Everybody was running into the building. And when they got into the building, they literally did nothing. They just walked around, took a podium, took a laptop. It took pictures around. Like, they didn't do anything. They went in there. They went to the chambers, the Congress and Senate chambers, and just took pictures. They didn't know what was going to happen afterwards. So how would you get up there and say, oh, yeah, we went there in attack formation? I mean, it's just hilarious. Just watch this setup. They're trying to bring all races now into. So when the new world order comes, and when obviously when hyperinflation really start kicking some butts, and the economy start tanking, and people can't pay mortgages, and people can't pay utilities, and don't have the resources, and the food shortages really take a hold. Watch. You watch people who were level-headed, or the people who were against, oh, the Republicans this and Republicans that, they're going to turn their energy and turn their hatred to the government, period. This is why they bring out these laws, these domestic terrorism acts, and that's why they want to go through your social media handles. That's why they want to go through your pages. Because if all they have to do is watch you post a meme that says, oh, the government this and government that, they'll label you a domestic terrorist and then they'll watch you. I don't know what I'm saying. They'll terrorize you as far as, they could do that. They could follow you and say, stop posting this. Hey, you were watching you. They could scare you that way. That's what they can do. But like I said before, if you will know who's really in charge and whose power is really at hand, you know they can only do so much. Just like demons can only oppress, men can only oppress. That's why I said last episode, be scared of someone who can steal your soul, spirit, and body, rather than somebody who could just steal your body. But along with that, Donald Trump lost his wife, Ivana Trump, and she died at 73. We should know that was a sacrifice. Just like Oprah Winfrey's dad passing, that was a sacrifice. It always happens, like I said, anytime after June 20th is the summer solstice. So these Wiccan witchcraft covens do these sacrifices either in early in October, or then they do them again, mostly with the big dogs in July and August, because it's the summer. And they like to invert things. Winter, summer, and then, you know, the spring equinox is when they really pop off. But that's what it is. She died at 73. If you go to gematronator.com, type in sacrifice, you'll see 73. I think it's a reverse ordinal. I think it's, no, reverse full reduction, I think it is. And if you go to gematronator.com and type in pink and black, it will come up. You'll see the number 73, which is why you keep seeing black, pink and black. Lizzo and her boyfriend had pink and black. You see newscasters start wearing pink and black. When I talked about the Jalen Walker incident, pink and black, the person who was standing outside talking to police, it means sacrifice. I mean, it happened in Akron. The area code for Akron is 330. I mean, now we went from he was shot 60 times, now he was shot 46 times. They can't tell these stories straight. They hype it up. He may have gotten shot 10 times or maybe 5 times at that. But saying, telling you he was shot at 90 times and 60 times and 46 times, it make it seem like, oh, the end all be all needs to come. We need to defund the police department. It was already a small police department in, I forgot what city or state, that had already quit. They were in a small town anyway. I don't know how a small town police force just quits. But they said they had problems with their chief of police. He was, you know, for conduct and all that. But this is how they get you to start. They get one police organization, a small one, to say they quit, and then you want all police departments to quit. This is, I'm telling you, they're getting ready for the New World Order police to show up. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to be like the military. It's going to be like the army. It's not going to be none of this talk back. And I've seen so many videos, and it's a shame. Maybe it's just because I'm looking for it. But no, I'm not looking for it. I'm on Reddit and Instagram and Twitter. But I see more and more black women, particular women, but black women, fighting, talking back, sassing. I've seen black women try to fight men in Planet Fitness over Tootsie Roll. I mean, I've seen the most insane combinations, matchups with black women versus everybody. And that's where that energy comes from, that feminist energy comes from that. That black women have been seeing themselves at the forefront of social justice movements and think to themselves, we can do anything. We could do it better than men. And that comes from liberal white feminism. And to believe in, oh, we don't need our man. We got it ourselves. We'll take care of our men. And that's what Willie Lynch papers and the letters were all about. If you can take the black woman away from her man and put her in a frozen, independent state, she will bend to your will because she wants the independence. She wants the crown. And in return, what she will do is she will raise her children, either if it's a two-parent household, it's a broken household, she will raise her children to be independent. She will raise her daughters to be more masculine, and she will raise her sons to be effeminate because she will have to coddle them. She feels like she has to protect them. And that's why a lot of black women are acting out beyond control, is because all their idols act out beyond control with no accountability. They see Cardi B do whatever she wants. They see Megan Thee Stallion do whatever she wants. They see the young girls, Chloe and Haley, do whatever they want. As long as women are propagating their body and thinking that's power and thinking that's our culture, the more they feed into it, the more they feed it, they can't be talked to, they can't be talked down, and you working with an image and a facade that really I am in fear for some of you young brothers, because you're trying to find a wife, a partner, a significant other, someone to cover, but this is the tray of what you're getting. And I'm going to touch on that whole submissive and hearkening thing a little bit later, but I'm going to continue on with these headlines. Now, every election season, there's always, let's talk about reparations. I mean, I really wish I would leave that alone. I talked about it so many times on this show. You are not getting reparations. Reparation is not biblical. It says the Most High will judge this land. Judge it. And then we will come out with great things. We will come out with possessions. We're not getting anything. They know exactly who we are and what will happen. They just blind you to it. Of course, they got to make it seem like we're not getting nothing. If you knew in Scripture, and if you understood a little bit about Scripture, and you know what happened in Egypt is the same thing that's going to happen to America, why would you tell the people that they're going to walk off with your stuff? Would you tell them that? If you read Scriptures, and you had a bunch of possessions, things that you know they want, and you know that day is coming, why would you tell these people, hey, we're not going to give you reparations because you guys are going to, when we are destroyed, you guys are going to walk off with the stuff for free anyway. Why would you think they would tell you this? It's not because they hate black folk. It's because they hate the Most High, and he hates who he gave his inheritance to, or who he claims as his inheritance. That's all this is about. It ain't about race as much people they think it's about race. It's not. It's about one particular people, and from one particular people, a man long time ago decided I wanted a pot of soup more than I want my birthright, and decided to make that exchange. He screwed up everything for everybody in that particular nation. So there is one nation who rules this world with no remorse, not saying, hey, please, Most High, forgive us for what Esau did. They don't even say that. They say, oh, well, all right, oh, well. Oh, well, I guess we're not chosen. I guess we got to find other gods to make us the chosen ones. And that's how they act out. I mean, these men have been passing down the same ignorance through their children, through their children's children. It goes on and on and on. And they created secret societies out of it. They created a cult society out of it, and then they want to destroy everything. destroy everything. Everything they touch, they destroy. They infect and manipulate. It's like a disease, like a cancer that won't stop spreading. So, of course, they're not going to tell you, oh, you're going to get all these possessions once you leave here. So then they come out with Tariq Nasheed. Now, before, I was following Tariq Nasheed 3 years ago because I thought he was actually a smart brother, but he kind of turns out to be really stupid. And he's a managed puppet. Every other tweet, he wakes up in the morning and starts off almost every other tweet with a white supremacy this, white supremacy that, this white man, this white racist. And it'd usually be black women's fault. I know one scenario is when I'm pretty sure everybody has seen it already. It's a black woman screaming at this white man outside of a restaurant, screaming, cursing at him while he's in her face. And then she tells him to back up. Then she puts her finger onto his, you give him a little mush with her finger. And he fell back a little bit, came back to her in her face. Then he smacked her, and then he tried to walk away, and then that's when he got hit. Now, people who are feminists are black. No one in their right mind say, you know what, let me separate. It was black men. It was basically skinny, effeminate black men sitting there watching this black woman argue with this old white man to the point where she felt that she had to put hands on him. Then he put hands on her, and then no one still stopped it. Everybody's still filming. Black men still filming it. Then she go around, punch him, he fall into the door, then he go back into the restaurant. Then she try to follow in, and then the tape cuts out. But then Tariq Nasheed posts this and says, oh, a white racist, this and this, that, this. You don't even know the context of the story. But his whole platform has gotten bigger because all he has to say is white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy. They did this when we was in slaves, buck breaking, da-da-da. All he keeps telling you is your curses. And you guys feed into it as if you didn't have no other identity but slavery, to get you mad at white men, get you mad at slavery when you did not, in any circumstances, ever put on shackles, ever put on yokes, ever gleaned the field with cotton. You never did any of that. But you know for certain your identity starts and ends with slavery. And then he breaks down. This is how I know black folk are retarded in this country. And there's a reason why we are always set up for slavery. We believe anything. Anything stupid, we really believe in it. It must be a spiritual thing. You could tell somebody the truth and they literally look at you like their eyes are glazed over. But you bring up slavery, you bring up the KKK, you bring up white supremacy, you bring up racism. Oh, everybody has a story about it. Everybody wants to relate to slavery or slaves. Then we got Tariq trying to separate the black community by calling yourselves foundational black Americans. What the hell is that? What's a foundational black American? Before that, it was African descendants of slaves, Aitos. Like, don't you dummies know exactly where that comes from? Why do y'all keep wanting to identify with slavery or slaves? They didn't take slaves when they went into West Africa. They took lawyers. They took doctors. They took warriors. They took kings. They took princes. They took queens. They took princesses. They took real masons. They took architects. They took mathematicians. They took artists. They took it all and made us slaves, made us do work. I don't know what it is about black America. It's so stupid. They will not wake up to they. Like I said before in the show, they will hit every branch on the way down. It'll go from Kemet to West African spirituality to Egyptology. Then we'll go to Islam. From Islam, we'll go to Christianity. From Christianity, we'll keep hitting every stupidity, religion, branch on the way down until we find the Most High. We'll find every label, anything that can be identified with slavery, suffering, and victimhood, we will find it. And because you know why we do it, we find it. We find victimhood in this country because we watch the gays do it, we watch the Jews do it. And we sit back and say, we want to be pitied. That's what it is. We, as strong as we are as a nation spiritually and biblically, we want to be victims. We plead to be victims. We want to show strength through victimhood. And that's a problem. That's a lot of problem with a lot of women, black women, of trying to find strength through victimhood or victimization. Every time women act out with their wickedness and then something happens to one woman, oh, it's let's protect us. Protect us now. Protect us from what we can't protect ourselves. Please, we are the victims. We're strong, but we're the victims. We can't separate profane from righteous. And we're on the streets with bullhorns, mega horns, screaming and yelling at cops. But please protect us from this. Please protect us if the cops put a stick up our butts. Or rubber bullets in our face. Please protect us from our loud mouths. From our hypersexuality. Please, please protect us. But fear us. Like I said before, the Brittany Griner situation is fading. Like I said, it didn't have the traction that they thought it would have. That is why they got to call out their big dogs, their big puppet, LeBron James. Oh, if LeBron James was captured, then, you know, everybody would care. I mean, obviously, LeBron James is a marketable puppet. He's a mainstream puppet. He's the face of the NBA. No one watches WNBA. Women don't even watch WNBA. No one cares about WNBA. The black community doesn't really care about too much of the LGBTQ community. Majority of black America don't care. They try to think that black America is 80% gay and 20% straight. It's not. It's low-key, maybe 5% gay and 95% straight. But you wouldn't know that from mainstream media. But that's what it's showing its lightness. It's very light. It's showing the transparency. They're showing it don't hold weight. They're showing a lie. It ain't reality. That's why they had to go get, LeBron James says this about Brittany. Like, they need LeBron to say something. That's how you know people don't, especially black folk, don't care. And they could get LeBron to say that we still won't care. I mean, it was the beginning of the season. That ritual started to get everybody into the seats, to get everybody behind Brittany Griner. The first game, everybody wearing her number, which is 4 + 2 = 6. A bunch of sixes all over the court. Because this woman decided to plead guilty. Now the whole WNBA is acting like she was stolen away and she's kept captive. Fam, she pleaded guilty. That's what happens when you plead guilty. It wasn't like she was fighting the charge. But everybody back home, because it's like I said, there's no accountability, especially around black women and women in general. There's no accountability. So it's like, oh, she was guilty, but please send her back. She should be here. All these athletes, oh, she should be here. She shouldn't be treated the way she's been treated. They really want to get black folk mad at Russia, mad at the Soviet Union, as if this is the Cold War in the 70s and 80s. Like, it's the arms race. That's how you know. That's when you step back and understand these little psyops are stupid. I took my child to see Thor. This goes on with the whole LGBTQ community indoctrination of this world. And it's so corny. It right now, it's corny and it's lame. I took my daughter to see Thor Love and Thunder. And it could not wait. In the end, you know, they was trying to throw it all in. Like, it was a 2-hour movie for no apparent reason. Just 2 hours for no reason. Some of it was like once you wake up and you know real movies and you know how, I'm not saying you're a director, but you know you turn into a critic real quick once you wake up and you can see the little psyops and events. You can even compare movies when you were sleep still to what good movies were. Like you knew, like, oh, this is a good movie. It was 1 hour and 30 minutes of a good plot. You understood this movie. And then you go into like Marvel Universe, and you go to these superhero movies, and you'd be like, this is corny. Why are they doing this? This is so lame. Like, yeah, it's supposed to be for kids somewhat, but it was lame. The rock warrior Gorg from the Thor Ragnarok, come to find out this man gay. I don't know why they felt they need to put that story in there, but it was stupid. They just added storylines, stupid storylines. We all knew Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson's role. You know, we already knew she was gay in real life. So they couldn't wait to throw in that she had a girlfriend and that she was gay, blah, blah, blah. But they threw a loop for me. They threw a wrench in my game with this rock formation warrior. I'm talking about he go down to a volcano with his friend, and he comes from a dad. He comes from a two-parent dad home. He said his dad met this man and went to a volcano and touched hands or something like that, and formed a rock, and it was him. So he think that's what he wanted. He wanted a child. So he, in the end of the movie, I'm not going to spoil all of it, but ending the movie, he went to a volcano, met some rock dude with a mustache, and then he gay. Oh, man. The mighty Thor got cancer. Natalie Portman's character got cancer. Greatest scientist in the world can't defeat cancer. And there's something about Guardians of the Galaxy, the second one, and the store one, where they keep throwing out child trafficking, kidnapping children. I don't know what that is. I don't get it. I really don't understand it. I don't know what it is about the white man when he puts in his movies that he needs to show that they kidnap and child traffic children. We know they do. We've seen them do it. But they throw that in there. Christian Bale's role. Once a kid, he drags his daughter through the desert because he's following a false god, a false idol, and loses his daughter in the beginning of the movie. Then he get mad and get pissed at the other gods for what he decided to believe in. I like that verse, I think it's in Jeremiah, where he says that the Gentiles, the heathen, will come all to the ends of the earth to find out they inherited lies and vanity and things in which there are no profit. I love when you can find scripture in their movies, because that's what they get it from. They draw from scripture. Even I think Thor said a line that's in scripture. They know the Bible. They know enough of it to understand what's going to happen. So that's why they put all this foolishness in movies. Like, if you've seen the movie Ghostbusters Afterlife, if you've seen Paul Rudd's character, he goes into a grocery store. And if you look behind the, you know, when you look in the grocery store, you know, when the mole marshmallow men start being marshmallows and they come out of their package, if you look around, they're getting ready for 4th of July. Obviously, it was June. Because, you know, the number for June is 6. You know they're going to put that in there. But you saw it would be July. And what was CERN? CERN got turned on when? In July. July 5th. Right after 4th of July. And it wasn't changing the reality. It wasn't the Mandela effect. It was simply letting demons come into this universe, come into this reality, this plane of existence. And if you watch the background, if you really dive in and watch after the Ghostbusters movies time and time again, you'll see the ghost, the Echo one at the end of the movie. Watch all the way to the end. After that, the black character, I can't forget his name, the black character, he takes Echo one home. And what you see at night is the ambulance, or, you know, the Ghostbuster mobile go back into New York. And he goes back in New York, the very first building that they were in, the red light from the containment unit starts blinking. And at the end of the movie, it removed the ghost, you know, with that red do not enter sign. And it had the Ghostbuster behind it. It had the Stay Puft behind it. So what they're saying is something is coming back. Now, could the Stay Puff be also known as Cali? Because CERN has Cali in front of its building. Could it mean Donald Trump is coming back? Because they sold Donald Trump shirts that said Trump Busters on them. I'm just telling you, they predict the programming you what's going to happen. I think because they started talking this this safety rule with nuclear fallout, like that was the most random thing they just did. And why they do it on the month of July? Because the month of July is their warning month. Like I said, the July is the seventh month. September is 9 and also 7. So why would New York release this nuclear fallout PSA? I'm telling you, if you watch The Watchmen, the movie Watchmen, what happened in The Watchmen? It was a bomb, a nuclear kind of explosion by Dr. Manhattan, which really some guy who worked for the gay superhero that created his own little business. It was like a pyramid, was their emblem or logo. But what he did was somehow manufacture Dr. Manhattan's power, and he attacked New York. And what did you see during that meeting? The doomsday clock. They kept talking about the doomsday clock, just like they talked about the doomsday clock on the news publications or mainstream media when they talked about New York putting out this PSA. And at that time, Richard Nixon was president in the movie Watchmen. Now, who is Richard Nixon have been equated to? Donald Trump. So you got a nuclear explosion in New York. Well, it could not be a nuclear explosion. It could be EMP. It could just be a blackout. It could be just an EMP go off, and we blame Russia, we blame the Soviet Union, find out it's not them, or find out it, you know, we'll find someone to blame it on, which will probably be Russia. And we think, oh, we're at war with Russia. And that's when, again, we'll give up our privacy. We'll give up everything that we gave up during that 9/11 psyop. It's going to come back again. They're going to do it again. They want everything. They want to lock us all down. And they're going to succeed in doing so because the majority of the world is blind and stupid to these rituals and to these events. They have to emotionally manipulate you into believing there is a threat outside of this country. This is a threat from a looming nation ready to destroy us. When everybody, even in people in this country, the elite in this country, wants us to be destroyed. So that's why they give you celebrities. That's why they give you stupidity. That's why they give you all types of foolishness to keep you dumbed down to what's really at hand. I've already showed you in Baruch and Ezra, scripture, it's going to happen. It's going to be death. It's going to be destruction. It's going to be pestilence. It's going to be famine. That is what's going to happen. I think some of you are worrying about little tiny things of like, oh, I see the numbers. Like, oh, you start looking at the bigger picture, strain the bigger picture, like put all the little pictures side by side of things that you find and make it a big picture. I know some people wake up and they just start sending you random stuff. It's random. Be careful not trying to know too much. Stuff that really don't concern anything. Yes, I see times where I see news reports and be like, oh, there's 33, oh, there's 6, oh, there's 11, but I don't talk about it because it's little now. Start, because I string the big things, I get into the big conspiracies, the big theories, the big events that's going to happen. I see it all, like the bigger picture. I don't just see, oh, she's wearing number 6. I don't see, oh, you know, they're wearing this specific color. I see it all. I see this person wear it, I see this person say it, I see this person do it, and I put it all together. Start learning how to put it all together. I like this verse from Ecclesiasticus 3:21. Seek not out things that are too hard for you, neither search the things that are above your strength. But what is commanded you, think thereupon with reverence. For it is not needful for you to see with your eyes the things that are in secret. Be not curious in unnecessary matters, for more things are showed unto you than men can understand. For many are deceived by their own vain opinion, and an evil suspicion has overthrown their judgment. Without eyes you shall want light. Profess not the knowledge, therefore, that you have not. A stubborn heart shall fare evil at the last, and he that loves danger shall perish therein. In the punishment of the proud there is no remedy, for the plant of wickedness has taken root in him. So, stop trying to investigate every little tiny little thing into waking up. Learn to string it together first. What do you see? What pictures do you see? Put the pictures together. Stop doing this randomly sending off post of stuff that doesn't even mean anything. It doesn't have the same impact of really waking up. Because after a while, it starts to sound like white noise. It starts to look like white noise or background noise. Because it's just incoherent images strung together, things that you've seen, and you're trying to investigate all of it. Don't investigate too much. Stick to scripture and stick to the, if you see the small things, put the small things and make it a big picture, is what I'm saying. But you know something is coming, because like I said before, you've seen a lot of 7-Eleven, a lot of 7-Elevens, a lot of 9-Elevens. We're all talking about the Twin Towers and 9-11 all of a sudden. I think there's another wave of people who are waking up, and this the first thing they do when they wake up is to go into the 9-11 lies. Like I applaud them. Like whoever's waking up, wake up. But if you, like, when you wake up, you start with the bigger things first. You start with the 9-11, because that was something that had a control over this entire country for a while. I mean, I think it still does at some point. But the facts are coming out. Things are coming out. And people obviously are looking at the information. Like, everything is fragmented, but it's all there. They're not trying to really hide anything. It's just, it comes out fragmented because of our public school education. All what we've been taught was fragmented history. And it wasn't until we left school till we actually started putting it all together, which is why we're graduating in Masonic indoctrination. Like some people who are good at taking tests are good at taking fragmented lessons. Like they were good at taking fragmented pieces of history and answering the questions when they, you know, I just couldn't do it. One, probably because I didn't care enough about the information to want to learn it. But I don't get how some people were like 4.5 and 4.40s. I'm like, fam, you must really like learning like broken facts or broken history of somebody else's history. If it didn't concern me, I didn't learn it. That was my take on it. If I didn't care, I didn't learn it. Which is probably why I stuck with that C average grade all through my scholastic career. But we're back to the beginning of the show where we're talking about being submissive or hearkening. Now, I'm gonna say this because I know it from experience. You can get a woman to be submissive towards you without truly ever telling her to be submissive. I think when we come into this truth, I think I did for a little bit. When you come into this truth, you think scripture and getting into the word is supposed to make people Stepford Israelites, like Stepford wives. It's like supposed to make you a robot. As soon as you read scripture, like boom, you act right. Boom, you be submissive. Boom, you hearken. Boom, you do all the right things. It doesn't work that way. As much as people wanted to, this is the point of us having free will. We can choose to follow these laws, statutes, commandments, or we can choose not to. We can choose to wing it, or we can choose to really, you know, buckle down and learn the do's and don't do's of husbandry or mating or courting. We could do all that. That's the beauty of free will. But once you give yourself over, you give your spirit over to scripture and the Torah and these commandments and statutes, you really are led into the right direction. You can still make a decision not to do it, but you know your spirit is called to lead a path of righteousness. What women mostly do, because I know this from experience, what women mostly would do, if women have a shaky foundation as far as father, a father figure, if they have a shaky foundation of what a man is, a man is supposed to be, and they've seen a shaky example of this in their adolescent life, that means no matter what man comes across them, if he be righteous or he be wicked, they will test that man. And if you show that you are faulty in emotional security, financial security, or any type of security that they are not entirely used to, if they don't see the image of what strong is, they'll test every single man. And I'm telling you, it's adorable and it's cute and it's frustrating at the same time. Because you know, if once you understand, you know where it comes from. I dealt with so many women who had shaky or just no father figures. And what they do is they, when they see you, they see you propagate strength as a man. They want that. They see like, oh, this man could be my father. This man is going to take care of me. And fellas, when you don't have, if you look like a father figure and you don't have the emotional security of one, if you don't have the financial backing as one, if you just don't have that security as far as your personality yet because you haven't grown, they draw themselves to you, but then they'll test you at the same time. It's like they get upset and mad that you won't be their father or their father figure. Or their lover, if that's what y'all's business is. Oh, they'll test you. They will. Because after a while, every other man that they ever ran into that has either hurt them, cheated on them, or talked to them horribly, they build up that energy. They build up, like I said, after a while being around weak men, they'll build up that weak man energy to be like, oh, I don't need this weak man. I want somebody stronger. And then they'll test you with that weak man's energy. They will. They think they won't, they will. It's like a true battle of flesh and spirit. Their flesh wants to control you, wants you to get you to do right by acting out. Their spirit wants you. Their spirit wants you to make them submissive for you to act. Really, their spirit wants you to act right so they can submit to you. But when you come into righteousness, you come into this truth and you come into scripture, men think that they want a woman that's already in the truth so then they can tell them what to do. It doesn't work that way. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. You just can't tell, oh, you in the scripture, oh, you're not being submissive like the scripture says. And that's what a lot of women combat against when they read scripture, when they first read scripture or when they first hear of scripture. Because it's always, oh, they want us to be covered up. They want us to shut up and sit down. Because they go to what Paul said. Oh, we should be shamefaced. We should never say nothing. We can't preach and talk in church. They want us to be the old ways. They just want us barefoot and pregnant. Most women think that way when they read scripture, that this is what men want. Men want women to be quiet, to not have a voice. And that's not what, really, that's not what the men of righteousness or the men of Yah want. To be submissive, it truly means that I'm following this man. This man knows all the right things to do, say, and where he needs to be at. As far as our household, as far as this journey, this path that we're on, I am submitting that he knows the Most High a little bit better than I may know it at this point. So I need to follow this man so I can understand more about what the Most High needs from our union. That's what it's really about. It's not about clothing. It's not about what you wear. It's not about how you act. Well, it's about a little bit how you act, but it's not about petty things. I think men think, oh, you come into this truth, you got to stop wearing this. You got to dress like this. You got to act like this. And most likely women, some women who come into truth, it throws on because they go, oh, I want to submit. But they think submission comes from all of a sudden acting scared or acting timid or having no voice and doing whatever this man say do. That's not how this goes. Men can get women to submit. Just like women can get men of the Most High to hearken. Now, Adam was in trouble because he hearkened to transgress the Most High. But it doesn't say hearkening was the main code to cut out hearkening to your mate or hearkening to your significant other. Because if you want to please your woman, as any man wants to see his woman happy, you know what it'll take to make her happy. So you will hearken to the things that she needs to make herself happy. To make her submit to you, you have to please her. It's like a cute cat and mouse game. One, she ain't gonna, if she comes from, like I said before, a shaky foundation of a father figure and had shaky boyfriends and a shaky ex-husband or whatever she had, she's going to test you. She's going to put on this facade. And right now in this generation of women, they see too much feminism. They see so much power of women being propagated all in media. So then they think, I don't need no man. And deep down their flesh says, I don't need a man. I got it. Their spirit yearns and needs a man or needs a partner, needs a mate. They yearn for it spiritually. But because their flesh is tantalized by this power movement, this facade, this fake image of being perfectionist, this fake image of, oh, protect us all. We deserve to be protected. They take that and run with it. And so they come into a man that they want, that their flesh is drawn to, but their spirit can't handle yet. So what they'll do is give you a series of tests. They'll act like they don't hear you. Trust me, fellas. They act like they don't hear you. You could tell them, hey, I this is how I like things. In order for me to please you and love you and put us in the right direction, the Most High's path, to put us on that journey, this is what I need from you. Rather, if it's small, big, or petty, this is what I need from you. Now, I'm going to love you into this direction. I'm going to love you into this movement that we're on. This is my plans. And you don't even have to ask for submission. She'll test you through it because she wants to test your emotional maturity. Women can work with you if you're broke. Women can work with you if you ain't got no money. Women can work with you if you ain't got a house or got a car. Women will work with you if you show emotional maturity. Because that's where the leadership comes from. And when you have understanding, if you have wisdom, women will follow you. It works the same way, ladies. If you enter this truth faster and you grown in understanding and wisdom and knowledge way before the person that you want has woken up, they will follow you. Both sexes know what a good home looks like. Both sexes know what they're lacking in their spirit that'll draw them to the person that they think can fill their cup. Now, the tests will because of past relationships. You have to fight through that. I'm telling you, you're dealing with both sides, men and women. You have to fight through their past relationships, either with men and with women. And as far as me being a man, I have to work through men who have been trifling. Because that's where the test comes from. That's where the emotional test comes from. I'd tell her. I was like, this is a pattern that you're on. If when I get into arguing with my woman, I said, this is a pattern that you're on. You know what your pattern is? I tell her straight up. I said, you act like this because it's a facade, this image. Because what you see on social media, you see black women being proud and independent. But you know, at the end of the day, it's tiring. I see it. I can hear it. I can feel it on you. It's exhausting to try to keep up this facade of being strong all the time. To where you think you want to be. You think you can carry that alpha, that masculine energy. You just wait. All you do is you're making your hair gray. You're getting wrinkles on you. You making yourself old with that nonsense. Because really, this life shouldn't be that hard. It's the facade and the image that makes them tired. It makes these women tired. These type of women tired. And when you are around a man, a righteous, a man who's coming into his righteousness, you're going to test that man because of what you've been through, because you see the flesh, you see a man. You see every man that has ever done you wrong. You don't see the spirit yet. You see the flesh. So I'd be like, this is how you act. This is, see this, you don't want to take accountability of what I'm pointing out to you, and you're trying to throw what I said against me. Because all women like to do that. Oh, you did this. I'd be like, oh, you did this. This needs to change. Oh, but remember when you did, like, oh, women love to do that. If I had a dollar every time, try to redirect and deflect on me and say, oh, we need to talk about these issues between us. Like, no. I said, I'm not doing that. As you hear, you heard me. What I said needs to happen. It needs to change. You've heard that. Now, what I know the pattern from you is that after every time I tell you need to change something, this facade, this image, this defensive mechanism comes out. And I sit there and let you have it. You want the last word? I'll let you have the last word. But you end up doing what I say you're going to do, what I said I want you to do. You end up doing it anyway. And she doesn't know this. She submits to me by me leaving it, by not fighting against her. And that's what women want. Women want you to fight against them. They want you to fight with them. Because they want that masculine, they want that energy. They want to absorb that energy so they know what it's like to go into the next argument stronger than the one they came out of. So that's when, fellas, when you don't give that particular woman that energy, they submit to you anyway. If you just back off and be like, all right, I'll let you have the last word, but you're going to do what I say anyway. Because after a while, once women let their guard down, they allow themselves to be loved, they allow themselves to be led, and what they in their brain, they go back to, see, women read past conversations and save texts and all that. I don't do that. I don't not once be like, damn, I really want to see what she said June 30th at 4:00. Women do that. I don't get it. Women go back and read them texts, them long texts y'all sent. They go back and read them. That's how I know I got her. That's how I know I got women. Is when I know that part when they be like, oh, but you said this such and such a long time ago. I said, you still reading those texts? Because in their mind, they're trying to find an understanding. Once they let their guard down and this defense, this facade of this strong, independent facade that they own, once they let that down, they go back. It's like, maybe I'm tripping because this man is still leading me. He hasn't changed. He hasn't wavered. He's showing emotional maturity. He's showing emotional security. He hasn't changed his footing. He hasn't gone, like scripture says, he hasn't gone from the right or to the left. He keeps plugging on. Maybe I'm in the wrong. So they'll go back and read these text messages and be like, damn, he did have a good point. I get it now. Because fellas, once you don't waver and you still love this woman the way you were supposed to love this woman in righteousness, that they want that. Their spirit, it calls to them. No matter how hard they try to fight it in their flesh, it calls to them. Their spirit calls to be submissive. It's what the Most High has given us. He's given us that Ruach HaKodesh for us to be obedient, disciplined, compassionate, all for each other and all for him. So when a man is in his righteousness and a woman is around that type of man, it's contagious. It's contagious. You sure enough to pass it on to your mate. So even when y'all have a little falling out, you will, fellas, if you just relax, you will always win. Always. You will always win this battle. It's literally a battle of the flesh. You got to get through that flesh, that facade, that image to attack the spirit. And the way you attack that spirit, fellas, is the way you walk, is the way you are, the way you being, the way you follow these laws, statutes, commandments. That is what bends and breaks their backs to get them to be submissive to you. It's not you telling them you got to do this or telling them you got to do that. It's showing them. Women need to see it. If they know from their young childhood that they have shaky father figures or shaky men around them, they need to see what it looks like. They need to test you, to test your, you know, to test your righteousness. Now, I ain't gonna say, depending on the woman you got, I'm not saying get involved with toxic women. I'm not saying get involved with these women, you know, like the Jada Pinkas, the Megan Thee Stallions, and the Gabrielle Unions. I'm not saying get with them women and trying to show them the way, because obviously, you know, you can't show wicked, truly deep down to the bone wicked women this type of righteousness. You can't do that. You would just be annoyed and you would give up and you would walk on and she will walk her other way. She'll walk to find somebody who's weaker. And maybe through her, you know, triumph over weak men, she'll come back around and see the full picture. But depending on your standing and depending on your righteousness, it's either something that you want to deal with or something you're not going to deal with. Because obviously we're not out here to try to take care of the charity cases. That's not our walk in life. Our walk is not to, you know, to stand in the way of sinners. That's not what we are called for. But when a woman sees you following that righteousness, and they see you being blessed, or y'all being blessed together, she would submit. So that's why I want to get into what Jasmine or Jazzy Brown said, that she's dating Cam Newton. Mind you, she thinks Cam Newton is an alpha male, which I said before, they put these silly, Simple Simon couples together to get, and then they look through what we're talking about on Twitter or on social media, what we're talking about. And I guarantee you, when they start talking about being submissive, they are watching and trying to pick out what the Israelites, the awakened Israelites, are saying to each other. Just like they took the word woke and turned it into something that completely different from what the original definition was. Just like they took fleek and on fleek. Just like they took hot girl. Just like they took hot girl summer. Just like they take every other thing that comes out of our nation and take it and run with it and try to turn it against us. This is what they do. They've been doing it since scripture. They've been doing it since the Torah. They've been doing it with our history. It's just the way these people are made. This is the way who they are, is to take whatever we say and do and try to use it against us or use it to discredit us. Something that we created. So this whole submissing and being submissive and all that, it comes from scripture. And it comes from us talking with each other about that. So they give you Jasmine Jazzy Brown, somebody, if you don't know who she is, she started out in the early era of Instagram where you could just be a fool and make skits and be popular. And that's what she got in at the right time where that was popular, being a clown. So she's dating or being paired with Cam Newton. So then they're trying to convince the world that Cam Newton is a righteous man or is a man in general, because he's not an alpha man. Any man who got up onto the podium after a game and put a scarf around his head like a female, like Thelma and Louise, is not a righteous or an alpha male. He's a puppet, a Masonic puppet. And they put these two together to get, again, black people, black America, to ogle over this, to fall in love with this couple. This spell ain't happening either. So they pushed her out here to say something about being submissive and submissive to an unrighteous man. So we're going to listen to a couple of clips of what she was talking about.
I'm so nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we going to unravel today? Even though I know that everything we talk about is going to be needed for people to hear, especially from me, because you said, I would never think you would be like that.
I would not.
And that's interesting to me.
So, you know why? Because what I know of you is you've always been a hustler. You've always been a boss. You constantly reinvent yourself.
Fellas, stay away from women who say all these things. She's trying to propagate that this is the same image, this facade, this strong, this independent toughness. Any woman who says, oh, I'm strong, I'm independent, I'm a hustler, I'm this, I'm that, and then say I'm constantly reinventing themselves, are not that strong, are not that secure. That foundation is shaky. Why? Because the men in their life have been shaky. Their father figures have been shaky. If you reinventing yourself, that means you don't know where you come from. You don't know who you truly are. And what you're doing is going from one branch to the other branch, or you're hitting every branch down to find out who you are. This is a small toxicity, men, that you need to look for if you're looking for a mate. Because once women come out with this, yo, I'm a hustler, I'm strong, I'm doing this, I'm independent, da 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 da, and then say I'm always reinventing myself, that means they don't know who they are. They lost. That means a man that there was a man, a father figure lacking in their lives that had not given them any foundation of who they truly are. So they go through this world with this tough facade thinking they know who they are. They don't know. And they think reinventing themselves as someone who is strong enough to change from one personality to another. And really, you hearing demons talk. Not these two individuals, but you hearing demons, you know, a legion of demons being different personalities or multiple personalities. Only demons need to recreate themselves to fool their prey. Real women of righteousness and real women in walk are strong, don't need to keep reinventing themselves. They're poured into, and things that does no longer serve them, they purge it out. They dump it out. They spill over. They get rid of the things that don't really mean much to them anymore. They don't reinvent themselves. They purge themselves. They clean themselves. They purify themselves.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what yes. I said. My first and foremost comment to you was I've known about you for over a decade now.
Oh, thank you.
That to be said, my perception of you has been like career-oriented, me first, not in a negative way, but like kind of like the person who's like, I'm no good to you if I'm not good to me.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, me first. I'm not even like that. I think that it seems like that because of how I hustle, but even when I hustle, it's not even for me.
All right, so let's bring it back to the basics. What is the art of being submissive?
First step is get with somebody who wants what you have to offer. I think love and submission is a tailored fit. It's not a one size fits all. So I can only tell you what it means to me. Now for me, it's complete selflessness. I am satisfied in serving. I'm a servant and I watched my mother serve all my life, you know, and it was rain, sleet or slow. I think we talked about this on the phone. My mother's love for my father wasn't conditional. It's not my responsibility, but
it's your joy.
It is my joy. You know, I love to see him eating the meal that I cooked. I love seeing him sleep easy. Like every night, like clockwork, I scratch this man's back to sleep. And I know when he's asleep because I can tell when his breathing changes. And some people might think that's psychotic, but that's like, I just know that's when I'm like, oh, I can stop now. But I find joy in being your rest. And it shouldn't be conditional.
A part of that lack of conditions too means that you do your duty joyfully regardless of what's being done for you.
That's it. I do my duty joyfully regardless of what is happening to and for me. You know,
that makes no sense what she just said. So if a man is cheating on you, you still do your duty? If you're not getting what you want, do you still do your duty? If that man's not hearkening to you righteously, you gonna still do your duty? And rubbing your man's back to sleep, it's not being submissive. Like she has a weird definition of what she thinks being submissive means. Submissive doesn't mean serving. Submissive doesn't mean being selflessness. That's just other character traits. Being submissive means, is this man leading me somewhere? Does this man know exactly where we're going? Do I trust this man to put us on the right path to the Most High or put us on a path of righteousness? No, this whole conversation is like 15 minutes long, but I'm only giving you 10 minutes of it. But she has 44 minutes of just going on like this. Like, she's not telling you how she's submissive. She doesn't say not one thing that he does that makes her submit to him. She's talking about things that staying in his good graces, that staying under his household. Like, men, you should have a condition to this righteousness. Because that's what they want to push. They want to push, like, oh, there's no condition. It can't have a condition to if you're submissive or I'm serving you or not. It should be unconditional. And that's what a lot of you men get trapped up into that and thinking that you're supposed to put up with toxicity amongst women or amongst your partner. No. You don't have to put up with nothing. It should, just like the Most High's love comes with a condition. To get this love, you have to follow these laws, statutes, commandments to get this love, to be in the good graces. not act out and do whatever you want. The Most High loves us, yes. But he don't love us to keep doing iniquity. It says when we do it sin, the Most High flees from us. So his love comes with a condition. Men of righteousness should have condition to this love, condition to this righteousness and this path and these blessings that come with being obedient.
You know, but in the art of submission for me, because I can't speak for everybody, is being joyful about it. You know, it that want of, and I think it, not even just a want, the power of knowing that you have the power to make someone's day better. And that's a choice.
And easier.
Yes, better and easier. That's a choice that you have to make. I always make the choice to do it. I always make the choice to do it. I like to give. I like to allow my person to lead. They know, especially like when it translates in the bedroom, I like to feel dominated. You know, riding dick ain't always my favorite position because I like to be taken advantage. Oh my gosh. No, I don't like to be taken advantage of. I like to feel.
That's okay. I like to be degraded.
Yeah.
See what I mean? The more they talk, it slips out of their mouth. I mean, they're trying to be cute and funny, but it's who they truly are slips out of their mouths. And you fellas be dating women like this and don't know this is how they actually mean. This is how they actually look at themselves. Without strong father figures, without strong men, they don't know how to be righteous. They think being a hoe or being hypersexual is the key to a man's submissiveness or get the man to hearken to them. She still haven't told how this man leads. She don't that yet. She hasn't said, "Oh, he leads me by doing this. He leads me by doing this. He does this to me." She's been talking about what she's been through. She talked about crying in the shower. She's talked about she went from serving to being on her back. Fam, that's a hoe. That's a side piece. That's somebody you don't even take serious. And he put these two images in front of your face and be like, this woman must have it because she got Cam Newton. So obviously she must be doing something right. And they're getting you women to go away from righteousness and just thinking it's about serving your man, putting food on his table and laying on your back. Like most men who know their sex game is on point, know that we have ruled through our flesh that way. We have controlled women's minds through our flesh, but it ends up being a detriment to our spirit, because obviously that's where fornicating comes from. That's what they've been doing in these temples since the Canaanite days, is sexual worship. Baal Peor is what they called it. But she hasn't talked about anything righteous. She's talking about serving and being a baby. She's doing prostitute work. She's not doing husbandry. She's not being a wife. She's not being a letting this man be in a covering for her.
Think of relationships and submission and being submissive is like, it's like an 8 count. Know that dance. You better know that 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, dishes clean. 2, laundry. 3, if you have a long day and you fight in the world, you will never come back and fight me. You will never come back and walk into a space that is not welcoming you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you think that this is controversial in some capacity?
Absolutely. To some, it could be enabling. You know, when someone told me one time, they're like, you're enabling him. And I told him how that made me feel. And he was like, of course they're going to say that. They don't have nobody doing that for them.
How was, fam, still, she hasn't told me with the basis, the meat and potatoes of the word submission means. She's not telling me, she's not showing submissiveness. Cooking and cleaning and tidying in your household should be in your character. Cleanliness is the next thing. Godliness, that's not being submissive. That's being clean. When a man comes home, he's not fighting with you. That shouldn't be a badge of honor. When a man comes home, he should already pick a partner that is his rest. That is his peace. That's the whole point of the Most High giving you a partner. It's for you can enjoy that peace and joy. Not as a badge and honor of like you come home, you used to a war. So ha, you should be glad that you're getting peace and I'm cleaning. And it's not an 8 count. Like I said before, it doesn't turn you. They think it scripture turns women into like the Stepford Wives or the Stepford Israelites. That, oh, soon as you come to the truth, oh, you need to do this. You need to clean, cook clean, and be quiet. It's not how that works. I don't know why people assume it's how it works. It doesn't work that way. And what they do to combat that is to say, is they all say, oh, they say you cheating on me. And I used to use this line. Oh, they just mad because I buy you things. They just mad because I get this stuff for you. She's telling on herself why she's in that relationship. Because she gets things. He doesn't require her to go work. He doesn't require her to really do anything. He don't require her to do anything but to show up and be on her back. So anytime somebody comes to her, obviously she's not strong enough to say, hey, this is what I do for a man, I like it. This is what this man does for me, and I like it. She don't say that. She goes like, oh, these weak women that I'm around have a problem and have an opinion about what I do. And he goes, and she goes to him. And he doesn't say anything of righteousness. He doesn't say, hey, this is how we walk. We're set apart. We do things differently from everybody else. He told her, oh, they're mad because they don't get what you get. They mad because they don't live in the house that you live. I put you in. They mad because they don't get all the Louis Vuittons and Chanel bags that I get you. Oh, they just hating. Every man who's lived through his flesh have said that line, has said any variation of that line. But it's not a man that you need to be submissive to. It's not a man who's leading. It's a man who's covering up his intentions of not being a leader. His intentions of just dragging you along. If anything, he should come and say, hey, this is what we should do and this is how we do it. If they don't like it, then you need to separate yourself from your friends. A real man of righteousness or a real man in general would put that line there and said, this is the line I'm drawing. You come over here. We separate ourselves from them. And you don't have to come to me with these vain opinions.
There was a time where, you know, women needed men for everything. We couldn't even open up a bank account. You know, and now it's like women are really in their bag where they're like, I have my own business. I'm doing this. I don't need a man for nothing. Like, basically, like, can I be frank? Like, I don't need a nigga for shit. I don't, you know, and I can say those words, but I want one.
So my brain wants to understand the exchange here. Because know, and I'm this could be it's not. No, you're doing great. But because I told you, I'm gonna ask a bunch of stupid questions.
Yeah.
Because this dynamic, I think, like, my relationship with my partner is very egalitarian. Like, we're equals. Like, I don't ever feel like I'm giving for the sake of giving, and I'm not receiving for the sake of receiving. I'm receiving being like, well, I deserve this, and I'm giving being like, you deserve this. So there's that exchange happening.
So you speak on, you're like, you tell him the things that you need.
Yeah.
And the things that you feel like you deserve, you'll say that
100%.
How will you say that?
I need you to step up in these areas. I need to not worry about this. I need to be able to take my brain off this thing. I need more affection. I need more love. If we're going to be sexual, here's the things that I need to, like, feel more sexual. And in return, I invite that. Like,
yeah.
So we have a lot of conversations.
Does he receive it well?
I think everybody has a problem with being told that they're not doing enough, because we always go to, like, well, I'm already doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So I think that there can be, I wouldn't say that he's always arms wide open, but he always adjusts. But so I guess when I'm listening to your relationship style, I'm like, if we kind of broke it down into, like, to-dos specifically, like, what does a submissive woman do for her man?
Everything.
What does that mean?
You know, like, packing his bag, unpacking his bag, just making sure all the things that he wants. And, like, I pretty much read his mind. So it's like, if I know you and I study you, like, I know how you are in the morning. I know how you are about midday. I know when you're in this mood, what you need. Like, before you can ever ask me for something, I'm already on it. I mean, he's spoiled. And, you know, when I talked to my girlfriends about it, I was like, oh, how are you guys doing? And I'm just like, girl, he's rotten. I'm like, he's spoiled rotten. Like, he's rotten. But I love that. Like, I want him to be that. I think my biggest flex is how I treat my man. You know what I mean? And my biggest flex should be how I treat myself, which is, so it's kind of fucked up. It's kind of messed up.
What are you getting from all that you're giving? What are you asking for in return?
You know, what's interesting, and you saw my reaction when I was like, you say that? You asked for that? You know what I mean? I think that I have gotten better at saying the things that I need, but if I don't get it the first time, I don't like to say it again.
So would you do what you're doing for a broke dude?
What do you call broke?
requires your financial support as
no.
well.
No. No. I mean, I think to be broke, you can be
still a great lover, still very romantic, still very emotionally supportive. But I'm just like asking.
I wouldn't even know that. I wouldn't even know that he's all those things. Because I think there's a lot of people who are financially stable who are broke-minded, and I can't get down with that either.
So let me just clarify the question. What are the requirements from a man to bring to Jazzy in order to get this level of love from you?
I think it's how you make me feel. I have to feel safe with you emotionally. You have to excite me. I need edge. So all this cute, soft shit that I need him to be emotionally this, I do need that. But I also need some edge. And I also need a man that is like, you know, like I am a submissive. So like, in a way, my love language and sex is like, I like for you to tell me what to do.
Boom. What I just said in the early part of the show. Women do not know, majority of these women that are still living in this world do not know who they are, and they're basing their ideals of what being submissive is based on if a man is financially secure. Not has anything to do with if he's walking right, does not have anything to do if he's following some type of laws or rules of knowing what to do is right. He's not doing anything. He's literally, Cam Newton's not, and we're talking about Cam Newton here. We're not talking about every man. We're talking about a man she dating. Cam Newton has not done not one thing, and I'm telling you from the outward, I'm telling you from the inward, he has not done not one thing that makes or convince this woman that he can lead a relationship. Not one thing. All he is providing her is materialism. And that's what she said from her own mouth. She literally doesn't know who she is. And she the more she talks, the more she's telling on herself. She need to go to the Most High, or she need to go to therapy. Because she telling the things that slip out of her mouth is something I don't think she's supposed to. She didn't want to come out of her mouth. Like putting somebody else above the Most High or in front of the Most High instead of him. She's putting a man. She probably barely even knows, but because he's providing a financial security for her, she'll shut up. She wants to. She thinks being submissive is being told what to do in bed. She keep telling she a side piece. She keeps talking. She nothing but flesh. But this is the type of men you waking Israelites want, and then you wonder why it don't work out. You wonder why it blows up into your face. Because you are not picking women who are walking in their righteousness. You are picking women who foundationally are broken, who do not have a father figure or a strong structure of what a man should be. Because she's not drawing from scripture. She's drawing from the world. And you men, if you are around a woman like this, I'm telling you, you're going to be in for a war. But on the flip side, if you do it right, trust me, if you do it right, you can convince these women that it's their idea to be submissive. If you are walking right, if you are following the law, statutes, commandments, because that light will shine on you. That ruach will burn inside of you. They'll know that. They'll know it by the way you love them. The only reason why I'm walking right, the reason why I don't cheat or have side pieces anymore, the reason why, because I don't want to piss off the Most High. The reason why I don't go back to women after I have arguments with my main women, the reason why I don't do that is because I'm scared of the most. I'm in fear of what the Most High will do to me because I can't defend it. When I get in arguments with women of me cheating, I could defend it. Fam, I got lies. I had money. I had a lot of money to go. I can overnight me some Louboutins, fam. I can overnight me some Bergdorf Goodmans. I can overnight it. So I didn't have to really use much wordplay. I didn't really have to do much convincing. One, I didn't care about lying. I thought it was cute and funny at the time. But now, since I'm in fear, the way I love my woman or the right way is because I'm in fear of the Most High reprimanding me for stepping out of what my path is, what my journey is, what my walk is with him. She's not saying that. She thinks being submissive to a man is to cook, clean, provide, make sure he falls asleep, and then lay on my back when he wants it. Ain't that the whole, wasn't this the whole script of Color Purple? Do it, do my business, do his business on me. That man don't sound like he love her. He don't, it don't even sound like they're going to be together for a while. But this is what they're saying. Degrade them. They look at themselves as being degraded. The women of this world look at themselves with no value. So they look for materialism and sex to give them value and think that's being submissive. No, you're being controlled. You're being a puppet, which is what he is anyway. So obviously, if you have a household and the main man of that household is a puppet, what do you think he gonna make you? A wife? A woman of righteousness? Any man who's controlled by this world is a puppet. And ladies, you need to start learning how to separate yourself from this type of image, this type of man. One, separate yourself from this, I'm a hustler, I got my own business, I'm a strong independent. Separate yourself from that ideology for one. Find submissiveness by serving the Most High. Once you serve a power that is higher than you, you'll automatically learn how to serve and submit because you're serving the Most High. You're serving the most awesome, most righteous man who created this world. You're serving something better. You're serving a man that's better than any man walking this earth. Once you learn that, then you find the man who's yearning to follow and to appease the Most High. Because you know he's appeasing the Father. You know that he's serving the Father. So it's easy to serve a man that way. It's to serve a man you love is to serve a man who serves the Most High. Because it takes focus off the materialism. It takes focus off sex. It takes focus off the fleshy things. It takes focus off who you see yourself in this world as. If you serve the Most High, all of that, if you had ever had a shaky father figure or a shaky ex-boyfriend or ex-man or whatever, if you had that shaky, and if you just give yourself over to the Most High, allow him to teach and give you understanding, he will give you what you need. If your desire is to have a man, a husband, a covering, stop asking for it through your prayer life. Stop asking. If you serve, if you ask for understanding, if you ask for obedience, if you ask for discipline, if you ask for wisdom and understanding, he will give you exactly what you need. But first, you have to come to him with a pure heart and not ask for things that it won't serve you at this time. I always look at this verse, Kings, when King Solomon, First Kings, chapter 3, when Solomon talks about going into the wilderness and praying to the Most High and asking him in his prayer what he wants. I'm going to give it to you, 3:9. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, you're so great a people? And the speech pleased Adonai that Solomon had asked this thing. And Elohim said unto him, because you have asked this thing, and you have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any rise like unto you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among you the kings like you unto all your days. And if you walk in my ways to guard my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. What's that say? If you don't ask, I want a husband, I want a covering. If fellas, I want a wife, please give me a wife. if you don't continually ask for these things, if you continue to learn how to serve the Most High and you ask for understanding and discernment to how to judge the profane from the profane from the righteous, to separate yourself, once you do that, once you do the groundwork, then he'll be like, all right, this is what I'm going to give you. It's just as simple as that. Solomon asked for the most basic, simple things. And the Most High returned his words with more than he was expecting to get back. That's what it means to be submissive. If you submit to the Most High, he will give you someone who is naturally submissive to the Spirit, not the flesh, but to the Spirit. And that's the difference between these two women and any other women in the Bible. Is women were submissive through scripture. They were submissive because they walked with a man who wanted to please the Most High. And they saw that. They saw this man getting blessed. Sarah saw Abraham being blessed. Rachel and Leah saw Jacob being blessed. Rebecca saw Isaac being blessed. They saw this. They saw this and they heard this. They understood this. That this is who these men were. So it's easy to submit to a man who knows what he's doing. And know how to walk. It's easy to submit to that. You, like I said, fellas, it's always going to, because you're dealing with women of this world, you're always going to put up with this facade, this strong, independent, feminist facade. You got to eat through. You can eat through that with scripture. You can eat that through that with spirit. You can eat through that with how you treat her. Because if you're walking a certain way and you don't waver, you don't go from the right or the left, she would eventually follow after you. Because she knows what it like, what it's like. She won't say this, y'all. She knows what it's like to be in the cold. She knows what it's like to be disheartened. She knows what it's like to be unsupported. She knows this. Once you give her a taste of that righteousness, she will bend and break her back to stay under that covering so that she could get what you got. If it's just financial security, those women, that type of man comes a dime a dozen. I mean, obviously, she'll just program her mind to think, all I need is a man with money. As you have heard these women talk about. That they'll put up with anything if the man isn't broke. That's pretty much what she was saying. She wasn't talking about, oh, if this man was broke and he was righteous and he was walking right, yeah, I'll follow him. She wasn't saying that. She said, oh, you know, I'm not doing all this type of loving. I'm not serving. Where her version of submissive is to cook, clean, and being and having sex. She'd think, well, I'm not doing this for somebody who isn't financially secure. Well, anybody can go broke. We are a lot of people are a paycheck away from being broke. But then, even if you got money, she's like, oh, if a man has money and he's broke-minded, how can you be broke-minded being rich? Which means he's conservative, he's not spending on you, he's not taking you to trips. Overseas, he's not paying for your first class tickets. How can a man who's financially secure be broke minded? Makes no sense. Because if this man is broke minded, that means he's spending money like he never had it. Then he's not financially secure. So they talk themselves in their own foolishness. This is what these worldly women listen to and think, oh. This not being, I'm not being submissive, man. I'm strong. I tell my man what to do. As you did, heard the other young lady said, like, oh, I'm equal to my man. And this is the whole point of this feminist movement, is to be equal with men. Oh, I'm equal with my man. I tell him what I don't like. And it's always, they always go to, I tell my man what I need. I need emotional this, I need emotional that, but I need edge. She wants a double-minded man. What you want? You want a man to coddle you. This is how a lot of women who were heterosexual, end up going being gay. Because they want women to have, they want men to have the emotional resolve of women and then turn around and have an edge. So you want a thug and then you want an effeminate man at the same time. You want a double-minded man because you don't know who you are as a woman. You don't know what you like. You don't know who you are. And you haven't been raised with a strong man to tell you what this is how you're supposed to be loved. See, it starts with the example, and the example comes from us men. So stop leaving these children unattended, because this is what you get. You sending your unattended child to find love with an NFL athlete or an athlete in general. with another effeminate man who don't know where he going. So y'all just repeating the generational curses of leaving your children strung out with no leadership, with no values, and having them to learn these not unnecessary, valuable lessons of what it means to be loved the right way, or what it means to be submissive, or what it means to walk right. Because it all starts with us. As you can hear these two ladies, now, I don't know their parental backgrounds, but you could tell in the way they talk and the way they act, the way they speak, that they don't have strong father figures. They don't. Their father's either the weak ones or they're non-existent. Because they still, these two who are supposed to be in relationships, neither one of them talked about how righteous their man is and how their man does this and that. If they feel they're equal to their man, that means they're both not, someone's not leading. If they're equal, that means somebody's not leading properly. If you got to tell your man how to love you, obviously that man ain't for you. If you got to get up on this on a podcast, a video podcast, and tell the whole world that you have to tell your man how to please you sexually, that means that man ain't going to lead you. That man ain't going to do nothing for you. Because apparently men who are of the spirit, the men who are of righteousness, and the men who walk with Yah understand spirit. I could tell when my woman go through something. I could tell how to, I know the ins and outs. So I say, I observe my woman. I observe her like I'm scouting an opposing team. I know her weaknesses. I know her flaws. I know when she's going to start an argument. I know when she's going to back out of an argument. I know when she's going to be defensive. And I know all of these things because I observe. I observe spirit first. I don't observe her flesh. I observe her flesh when I'm in that bedroom. But when I'm dealing with this woman and when I'm getting this woman to come under my house and come under my covering and walk in these statutes and walk in these commandments, because she's not fully under them yet, when I'm getting her, I'm pulling her in by the way I see her spirit. Not the way I see her flesh, but the way I see her spirit. And I could tell when I got her. The best part, I don't have to cover up trying to take advantage of her for my own vain deeds. I don't. I stay on the straight and narrow. She know exactly what she getting from me. She know when I'm not having it, because I'll be quiet for a while, and I tell her like, look, this I be emotionally mature with my words. Like, yo, I am not having it right now. I need time. Give me a couple of days, and we say this. I need a day or so. Then after a while, if I leave her alone long enough, she'll be thinking about what she said and how she came off in arguments. And then she'll come back and say, hey, like she always does this. So I let her do it. I let her tire herself out with this. I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need nobody. I'm ordering my own household. Da, 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 da. I put up with that literally maybe every other 2 months or whatever. I let her go through that because I know that letting her do that draws her back into me because I don't fold. She want me to fold. She want me to bend and buckle. I don't do that. That's what she's testing me. Like I said before, when you deal with a woman who has shaky foundation of men images in her life, if they're always been shaky, she got to test the strength, because all the strength she needs, she's seen or understands is female strength, is the strength of her mother. She doesn't seen having, she hasn't understood the strength of a man who don't leave. That's what she right now, she's seeing that with me. And the reason why she ain't going nowhere, one, because I knew she wasn't going to go nowhere. Once I knew for certain she not going to go nowhere, I shown her I ain't going nowhere. Trust me, fam, it's like a cakewalk. It's a cakewalk, fellas. If you can understand your female, you understand your partner, and understand that their mind is somewhat attached to this world and is trying to come out, the only way it's going to fully come out of this world is if you provide an example of righteousness and in a path and a journey, a destination of where you need to end up. Once you show her the vision, fellas, you will get her to follow you. Regardless if she wants to fight, kick, and scream her way out of that world she's trapped in, she will do it. To follow you, she will do it. She don't like her friends that much. She don't like her job that much. She don't like that strong, independent mantra that much. She wants you to be her rest. Just as much as we want them to be our rest and peace, she wants us to be her rest and her peace. So she gonna come where she gonna have a potential or have the potential to kick her feet up. She gonna want that. Nobody wants to be on their feet all day working. Everybody wanna be in the Maldives or somewhere. Everybody wanna kick it in a cabana. Don't nobody want to do this strong, independent thing forever. Nobody does. It's just a facade to bury or to cover up the loss or the inaccuracy or this perfection, this image of being perfect and strong in front of everybody else. And behind closed doors, you're hurting. You're emotionally, exhausted. Nobody wants to do that forever. No matter how many times they act like they do, they don't want to do it forever, fellas. They don't. They truly don't. So learn your woman, learn your partner, learn what you're dealing with, but learn to be an example of how it is to really submit yourself to the Most High. Because once women see you submit to the Most High, they believe that this is the proper way to submit to a man. Because you, as a man, is submitting to a man that's higher and more powerful than you are. Once women see you do that, see you in that scripture, seeing you change and turn your life over to the Most High, they start seeing that. They start looking beyond the flesh, beyond their flesh, and start looking at the spirit. And then they want to change their spirit because they want what you have. They want that joy. They see that light. I tell you, you know how you walk into a gym or you walk anywhere and you can feel somebody staring at you? That's the same. That's that feeling that You know what you want. You know this is where you want to be. You know this man is going to take me there. You know this man is going to lead me to exactly where I want to be. If I got to learn laws, statutes, commandments, so be it. I will follow this man. Materialism ain't going to get you nowhere. It's going to get you from what? Spring couture to winter couture to ready to wear to fall. That's where it's going to get you. It's a never ending. You'll never be satisfied. That's what materialism is. It's seasonal. That's what most of these men y'all going after. Seasonal. Get you a man for all seasons. Get you a man for all weather. That's how you submit. When you submit to a man who's submitting to the Most High, you don't even know you're submitting. I can't tell you how many times I pulled my woman into submission, like pulled her by my deeds. Oh, you fight me today? All right, cool. So I booked this trip, and this is where we're going to go, and we're going to do it not on the Shabbat, but we're going to do it this way so I can make it home by the Shabbat. I'm like, okay, just tell me when to pack. Oh, we're doing Passover this year. So make sure you do this. Bring this here. Da 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 da. Oh, okay. I'll cook something. That's how it works, fellas. When they see you do it, they see they need to see the image of you doing it. I mean, it's hard to do. It's hard to show them that you submit to the Most High, but they can tell it on you. But if you show them, oh, I'm doing these feast days, I'm doing these Shabbats, I'm offering, this is what I do. Even through our conversations, she'd be like, what you doing? I was like, oh, this is a Shabbat. This is my rest day. Oh, sorry. I mean, obviously she's working. She has to provide for herself and her child and all that. But it'd be times where I'd be like, we're doing this. Come down here. We're going to do the sukkuk, which is staying the tents and stuff like all of that. Like, through conversation, she know this is what I'm doing. And regardless, I would tell her or show her scripture and all that. She's like, oh, okay, it hits. She know I'm not playing around. I'm not showing her materialism and all that other stuff. I know the things that she want. I know all women want materialistic things. All women want to bask in their vanity. I get that. I understand that. But the way to pull them into your word, to pull them into righteousness, is showing them that you can, one, be financially secure, emotionally mature, and that you're following this scripture, that you will not turn aside from scripture, regardless of how y'all end up, or regardless of how y'all fight, or how bad it is, or if you argue or disagree, it don't matter. As long as you stay within that scripture, she testing you, see if you're going to come out of your blessings, if you're going to come out of scripture, if you're going to disobey the Most High. Because she sees if you disobey the Most High, you would definitely disobey her, or you would definitely lead her astray. That's what she wants to see. As much as we don't like those test fellas, it's adorable and cute. Even though it frustrates you, it's adorable and cute. Just look at it that way and just understand who you are dealing with. Understand what you're fighting against. Just like the Most High had to fight you men to get you out of this world, to provide you with a mate, or provide you with a significant other, it's the same way with women. It's the same way. The love and grace and long-suffering that the Most High has given us, we should equate that, or we should pass on that energy to those the Most High has given us to either waken up, or given us to cover, or given us to marry. We should look at it the same way. We should be graceful, we should be full of mercy, and we should be long-suffering. Joy comes in the morning. I'll see y'all next episode.